Teddy did. He had a great passion for it. Always working hard.
Patriots Hall of Famer and New England legend.
Stop tweeting and get in your playbook.
Three-time Super Bowl champ. The best football analyst anywhere on the Boston airwaves.
It is intercepted by Teddy Bruschi. Teddy Bruschi has done it again.
Full tilt, full time.
Time for Teddy Bruschi, being brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Mr. Bruschi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, fellas. Playoff time in Foxborough.
Got
Let's
it.
Go.
Got a football game, nice and cold, too. Temperatures, wind chill in the teens. Perfect football weather. All right, so.
Any snow?
Now they kind of say maybe not. Maybe not snow, but windy and.
Snow.
I'm sure you did. Windy and real cold. That's what they're saying. So, what's your take on all this one?
My take on this one is, I think the Baltimore Ravens game, you could see a lot of things that I think would relate to how the Patriots would see it in terms of the Los Angeles Chargers. Like the Baltimore Ravens, you know, their running attack, it was unique with Lamar Jackson and other aspects of it. But what the Chargers did, which was interesting to me, I think it was because of injury too, having all of the DBs and safeties playing linebacker.
Yeah, Brown was out for the season.
Yeah, Denzel Ward, Jatavis Brown, Denzel Perryman, those type of guys have not been there, so they're using a lot of DBs for 40-plus plays, and I'm wondering if that's going to happen again, because if it does, this Patriot team is now a power running football team. I gotta think that they gotta pump a lot of Sony Michel. You get James Devlin in there leading the way, getting on linebackers. They do a good job of just solid base blocking and also scheme blocks. I think that's where New England, I think, is going to attack this Charger defense. Everyone wants to go straight up to Bosa. Bosa, man, he's gonna rush the passer. Ingram, he'll attack the guards and come up the middle of the pocket. They may not get there if they don't stop the run. They're going to have to earn the right to rush the passer. Initially, that's my thing when I was watching that game, how when I'm seeing these 30s and these 20s and they're playing linebacker, what the Patriots offensive staff must be thinking.
Yeah, and we were saying the same thing earlier in the show, actually, too. But, you know, they're trying to kind of spy Lamar Jackson. And couldn't you say they could try to do it, to try to take guys like James White out of the backfield? You know, keep an eye on the guy in the backfield, those seven DBs. So they might try to do that just to try to take that short passing game out too as well, though.
Yeah, Lou, you're right. That's where the advantage is. You know, the advantage is that, you know, you're quicker, you're better coverage-based, and the first thing you line up at that linebacker level as a defensive back. I've lined up next to defensive backs, and what they think first is pass. They'll think pass first before the run game, so they're going to react late to the run. But if you're giving up 4 or 5 a pop, you know, on first and second down, and it's third and twos, this is an offense, unlike Baltimore's, that has a quarterback that can complete a simple slant by a receiver or a hook by a tight end over the middle of the field. And third and twos, third and threes, I'm anticipating a lot of those, because I don't know how successful this Charger defense can be stopping Sony Michel and that type of running attack if they want to go penny, dime, nickel type of defenses with all defensive backs.
Yeah, do you look at last year's game at all and get any, I guess, you know, analysis from that as far as how they would play it, pretty similar to how they would do it this Sunday?
Yeah, well, if you watch last year's game also, like I did, I mean, that's, of course, they use a lot of those short passes, I mean, to James White, a lot of things to get the ball out of Tom Brady's hand very quickly. I think the Patriots tried to tell us early on, even in the draft, who they wanted to be and who they ended up wanting to be towards the end of the season. I mean, you draft, what was it, Isaiah Wynn,
yep,
with your first round pick, and then Sony Michel. They wanted to become this. They wanted to become this power football, power running team, and now they've become it. So, of course, those short little passes are always going to be in the plan because of that pass rush and give them less time to get to Brady. But this is going to be mash. They are going to mash up there on playoff weekend.
All right, talking about last year's game, they pressured Tom Brady. They were all over him in that game last year. Two guys, the outside rush is really good. How important are the two tackles in this game? And do you get help? Do you need help with those guys? Four-man rush.
Either by alignment, you know what I'm saying, Glenn, either a line, a tight end over him, or the back chip. I think you definitely have to do that. If the plan is, you know, a five-step drop, something like that, I think the play-action game is going to be prevalent. I think that a package for Cordero Patterson is going to be prevalent, those type of things. And, you know, the defensive side for the New England Patriots, there are also opportunities there for them to attack Phillip Rivers.
You know, Ted, you're talking a lot about outside factors. So if I was to tell you which one would play more of a role, the actual travel from West Coast to East Coast a couple times in a row, the cold weather, or just playing the physical Baltimore Ravens team? What's more important?
Okay. You're talking about a Baltimore Ravens team, Lou? What do you mean?
No, I'm talking about San Diego Chargers, right? They just played Baltimore. Is that more of a factor?
Yeah.
Is the cold weather more of a factor, or traveling the East Coast 2 weeks in a row more of a factor?
I mean, they can downplay the flight and things like that, but I mean, you guys know that jet lag can be real to veteran players that are up there. I mean, especially a quarterback in Phillip Rivers. You're going back and forth cross country. You don't want to do that. That's a lot of travel. That's a time zone change, things like that. I think that's a factor that's mentally tough teams, which I think the Los Angeles Chargers are. You know, they overcome this stuff. They're a great road team. So I want to go to the other side of the ball, okay? Any factors that can possibly end the season for the New England Patriots, I'll say this. If they continue to have mental errors, if they continue to have those penalties that take away gains of 30-plus yards to Gronkowski, big run by Michelle, holding penalties, illegal procedure penalties, those factors that have been in this New England Patriot DNA, if those are still there, those are season enders, because those are drive enders, those are extra possessions for Rivers. They got to play penalty free. I like what they have. I mean, I like the defense, our defense. I like Gilmore in the secondary. They've had a great year. I think the linebackers should have a field day, blitz in the back, just like Baltimore exploited them with pick stunts and one-on-ones right over the back. I think Van Noy can get there well. I think Hightower can beat. It doesn't matter who it is, whether it's Gordon, whether it's Eckler, whether it's Jackson. They can't block. They've had protections based on the last few weeks. They'll attack that. However, if they can't play clean, none of that's going to matter, because you get a defensive holding penalty on a sack. There's a first down. You get an offensive holding penalty on a play-action pass to Gronk where he gets 35. You're going back, and it's the end of your drive. That's a factor you got to watch for, because that's what this team's done all year.
All right, you just brought up Gilmore's name, and they've got two big receivers at 6'4", actually three of them, because Allen's, 6'2". How would you line them up?
Man, that's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. I'd put him on Keenan. I mean, I'd put him on Keenan, and I'd double Williams. I think Gilmore, man, what a great year, all pro. Almost use him to try and say, this is what we brought you here for. That's your assignment. There it is. And then all the scheme goes other places. I don't know how effective Hunter Henry is going to be. I mean, how they're going to use him. I'm a little paranoid about bringing up Hunter Henry, but that's another issue.
Stephen A.
He's playing.
He's actually playing, so it's all good. So we'll see what kind of factor he is. You know, Gates is the old man that booties guys and can get open no matter what, because he's just got that little savviness to him. But put Gilmore, put him on Allen. As the game goes, if Williams is winning a lot of jump balls, you got to make an adjustment and possibly put your best on him, though.
Hey, when did you stop making the mistake of saying San Diego to L.A. Chargers? Like,
I do a lot of notes, and so I almost force myself to write Los Angeles Chargers every time I take my notes. So, believe me, I've messed up too a bunch of times. It's something that's so forgivable, though. It's like, why?
It's understandable.
Anyway?
It is forgivable.
Oh, except to people in L.A. But he's doing his job, unlike you and Lou.
Oh,
he's doing his job.
That's good.
Gets it right all the time, most of the time.
Hey, Teddy, a lot of coaching hires. I guess the one that stands out most to pretty much the entire NFL is Cliff Kingsbury. You know, played with them for a short period of time. So did I. Was that, I feel like I'm just stating the obvious. Was that the most stunning hire? And do you think it will work?
I don't know. I don't know. You and I both know Cliff. Confident guy, got along with everyone. You know, I mean, offensive background with dealing with quarterbacks, all of that. And that's the trend. That's in vogue right now if you're an owner. You're looking, even Bidwell started the press conference talking about this is how you're having success in the NFL. Offenses, explosive offenses. He's not talking about the defense of the Bears or the Cowboys or the Ravens or anything like that. It's what they see. They see points. So they want the next connection to the Sean McVay and whatever, whoever their search firm that what they believe in also. Cliff, it's fresh offensive energy. What can you say? I mean, it's almost like Steve Keim knows also how young this guy is, but they see potential. It's almost like you drafted your coach. You know, it's like we see a two-year project with this guy that he can become the next Sean McVay. Don't worry, I'll hire defensive coaches. They mentioned it in the press conference. Cliff was like, you know, Steve's going to bring in some good defensive coaches, you know, an offensive coordinator with NFL experience that him and I can combine our offense, things like that. And it's going to be tough because Cliff, you got all these players that are watching you so closely that you don't know, that you have to get to know. But also, you may have a good handful of coaches that you don't know either.
Wait, but is he not going to be able to hire his own defensive coordinator?
He mentioned in his press conference how the hire is probably going to be more on Keim. On Keim because of...
He's too young. They don't trust him?
Who does he know?
Oh, I mean...
Who does even know?
I mean, see, I think that's his biggest problem.
Like, how many guys does he have that you can offer a defensive coordinator job that's got the NFL experience? Maybe he has some coaches in college, but I think they'd go crazy if they had Kingsbury and then also an inexperienced college defensive coordinator that came in. So Keim's going to help him out a lot with that.
See, I think they're going too crazy with this, you know, need to find this young offensive coordinator. You know, what's wrong with – they got to find a leader, right, to be a head coach. Yeah. You want to bring a great offensive coordinator, a quarterback's coach, to work with him, that's fine. But it just – it seems like they're just chasing something, whether it's there or not.
You know, I tell you, I mean – I don't know if you guys agree with me, but Josh Rosen is a different dude.
Yes.
You know, he's just and the way he sort of, I don't know, it's almost like he sold out his coach, Wilkes, when they asked him about it at the end at a press conference, and he said, I have opinions on that, but, you know, I'll keep them to myself. And it was like, boom, holy smoke, did he just say that? And maybe that was the beginning and end of Wilkes, because obviously that relationship wasn't copacetic or anything like that, because... I mean, he didn't back him. So Cliff is there for that quarterback. I'm telling you, just so he can reach him on a level. You know, Cliff's 39 years old. He's got all these quarterbacks he's worked with in his background. Can you reach Rosen on an intellectual level? I bet you they think Cliff can do that.
You mentioned Mike Bidwell, and how much influence with this whole let's find a carbon copy Sean McVay do you think is the owners doing? Because it seems to me that the football people themselves wouldn't necessarily be looking for this. They would look at more of what Lou was just saying. I'm going to find somebody who's going to work with the quarterback, but not necessarily be the CEO of my entire football operation.
Yeah, you brought in Wilkes last year, former, you know, defensive coordinator of the Panthers, the Carolina Panthers, and you give him 1 year and out. And I think an owner that made that bold move, that because you get a bad name in terms of reputation from other guys, like, man, you just gave this guy who probably is well known across the NFL one and done. What'd you do that for? The owner feels strongly. You got to look through that and see, this guy feels strongly about this. No. I want this out. I see what Manziel's doing. I see Rosen, what they're going to – I see Darnold, what they're going to do in there. I see all these quarterbacks, Mahomes. I see Goff. This is what I want, Keim. And now we got to get this done. Let's find the right guy to get our quarterback, who you told me as a general manager had potential to be a star. So let's turn him into a star. I don't think the last guy could. I want the guy that can.
Good luck. All right, finally, oh my God. Before we let you go, who wins in Foxborough, and can Indy win in Kansas City?
Michelle's going to have a big day. Vannoy and Hightower are going to have a big day. I'm going to take the New England Patriots. The Colts do have a chance. They have a chance. I don't know who I'm going to pick in that one yet. I mean, I like the Colts defense. Andrew Luck is playing really good football, and the offensive line is protecting him so well. Not just Quentin Nelson. Get away from Quentin Nelson, but the way they pass off games, the way they clean the pocket, the way they slide, all of those things. It's Andrew Luck started a book club. He could read a book back there, fellas. They're doing such a great job. So they got a chance. I'll say that. They got a chance. You guys, I know you guys are thinking that AFC Championship in Foxborough.
No. Who's thinking that? Yeah, the interesting thing about that one, Teddy, is people are going to know Saturday night. By Saturday night, you're going to know.
Yep.
And suddenly that Sunday game has, not that it's not a big game now, but doesn't it go to the next level here? Because you're sitting there going, God.
Gillette's going to be rocking, man. Yep. Everything we got.
God.
Hey, they're going to have you come out of the huddle like Ray Lewis did for Baltimore.
Do the Ray Lewis dance. Yeah. Come on.
I don't care. Hey, I don't care. I can still get excited about them guys. We got to get this.
All right, Teddy, we'll talk to you next week.
See you, fellas.
Later.
Have a good one.